Chances are you've been plagued by earworms from time to time. You know, those songs that keep repeating in your head over and over again. Earworms could have been hazardous to Tom Reynolds' mental health when he was doing the research for his new book. It's called I Hate Myself and Want to Die, the 52 most depressing songs you've ever heard. Reynolds told Anne Strainchamps how he managed to listen to all of that depressing music and still maintain his sanity.
I had to kind of adopt the same sort of emotional distancing that homicide detectives have at crime scenes, you know, where you can't get emotionally involved. You have to be completely objective and totally rational about it and things like that. And after about the 6 months, I was walking with circles on my eyes, and I was unshaven, and I was mumbling, and which I do quite well anyway, but it was just even getting worse and worse.
So your book opens with a brief history of the depressing song, in which you write about a song from 1933 called Gloomy Sunday. And this one's also known as the Hungarian Suicide Song. You want to tell us something about the history?
It's a very interesting story. I mean, a lot of it's apocryphal, but this is an actual song. It's been recorded by over 150 different artists. It was originally composed in the 30s by a man named Rezo Saris, and he was apparently a failed songwriter to the point his fiancée left him because she felt he was a failure and never amounted to anything. And so his way of retaliating was to write this really depressing song entitled Gloomy Sunday, and it became kind of a big hit in Hungary. But as the story went, and I don't know how true any of this is, but the legend is that after the song became a popular hit, suddenly a series of mysterious suicides started happening, and every time they would find the body, they would find either the record with them, you know, the 78, or else the lyrics or the music, and the Hungarian government supposedly banned the song for being too depressing. The most famous version here in the United States was recorded by Billie Holiday in 1941, and she got a minor hit off of it, and it's a very, very gloomy song.
Sunday is gloomy, my not where the black coach of sorrow has taken you. Gloomy Sunday.
A lot of my favorite songs are in the I Hate Myself and Want to Die category, like Goodbye to Love by the Carpenters.
Yeah, and you know what? I actually like that song. Even though I write about it in kind of a snarky manner in the book, I actually like that song. It's Karen Carpenter's favorite song, apparently, and she was a very gifted, underrated vocalist. I think she just wipes out Mariah Carey or Celine Dion or any of those, you know, shrieking divas we have nowadays. I mean, she had that incredibly pure voice. It just was like an ice sculpture melting. But Goodbye to Love, it's very creepy to listen to that song. It has the usual, you know, Carpenter's orchestration to it with the Phil Spector-like horns and strings to it and the cooing choirs. But she's like saying, no one's ever cared if I lived or died. And it's like, whoa, what is this, you know? And it's a very, very depressing song. Even though she's singing in her pure angelic manner, there's a lot of dark subtext to that song because of considering how depressed she was and what happened to her.
I'll say goodbye to love. No one ever cared if I should live or die. Time and time again, the chance for love has passed me by. And all I know of love is how to live without it. I just can't seem to find it.
It also has one of the most egregious musical devices, which is a rock guitar solo that makes no sense in that middle of that song. The first time I heard it, I was like, what is this doing here? And it's like this nice sort of Muzak-y arrangement. All of a sudden, this guy tries to be Jeff Beck, and he comes wandering in there playing this bad fuzz guitar solo, and it makes no sense to me. For me, that just kind of amps the depression up because there's this big, egregious musical mistake in the middle of it.
Now, another song you included in this category, the I Hate Myself and Want to Die category, is Janis Ian's 1975 hit At 17. Why did you decide to include this song?
It's interesting because it's the only depressing song I know of that's based around a bossa nova beat. If you really listen to it, it sounds very suspiciously like The Girl from Ipanema.
I learned the truth at 17. Their love was meant for beauty queens and high school girls with clear skin smiles who married young and then retired.
But the lyrics address the usual teenage angst of not being accepted by your peers. I know it became sort of an anthem for teenage girls who felt like, oh, someone's finally addressing the kind of pressure that we go through as an awkward adolescent girl dealing with acne and being overweight and not being accepted by our peers. But I think it's because the delivery of the song, the wordiness of it, it gets very, very metaphorically weird towards the end. And I've always found that song depressing. I don't think it's a bad song, but I've never found it to be sort of, you know, cathartically sad or introspective. Maybe because I'm a guy and I don't quite relate to it the way a girl would, but I've always found it to be very depressing.
It's 17.
One of the other depressing songs you've got in this book is by the heavy metal band Metallica. It's a song called One. And I didn't realize until I read your book that this song is based on a novel. That's a bit unusual, isn't it?
Yeah, it's based on Johnny Got His Gun, the anti-war novel by Dalton Trumbo, which when I was growing up, it was sort of required reading in high school. And I realized that the only thing that's more depressing than being a blind, deaf, mutilated war vet is having to read about one for 3 weeks. It's a very, very dark, grim, unrelentingly depressing book, and that's just the intent. And Metallica, who are not exactly a cheer fest anyway, decided to adapt that book, into a song. And if you've ever seen the video for it, they show clips from the movie Johnny Got His Gun that Dalton Trumbo wrote and directed in the early 70s, and it's a very grim, black-and-white movie. The protagonist is lying in bed, and he's lost all his limbs, and he's blind, and he's deaf, and he's mute.
He's, in fact, lost every sense, right?
He's lost every sense.
And he has no face.
And he has no face. So he's just like this blob just lying there, and that's just going to be his life, and that's what the song is about. So it's just combined with this grungy, oppressive heavy metal music along with the storyline. It's a very grim, depressing song. I don't fault their musicianship. I mean, musically, they're heads and tails above their heavy metal counterparts. Metallica's a great band musically, but boy, they're depressing.
Is there any particular moment in that song that you find the most depressing?
Oh, yeah, the part where they do this, and then he starts screaming about it. Lost my arms, lost my legs, lost this, it's like this, and he just starts wailing and shrieking.
Lost my eyes, that's taking my sight, taking my speech, taking my hearing, taking my arms, taking my legs, taking my soul, left me with life in hell.
And then the guitar solo comes in, sounds like an angry wasp, and it just pummels you. And when I first heard it on the radio, I was just like, good Lord, what is this? And then when MTV was actually showing videos, they were playing that video around the clock, and you couldn't get away from it. So that all helped to just really wipe people out for a while.
Kind of makes you want to go put on the Beach Boys, doesn't it?
Exactly, yeah.
There's some songs that have really depressing lyrics, but are very up-tempo and kind of upbeat. Let's talk a little bit about Bobby Darin's song, Artificial Flowers.
Yeah, I have a category in the book called I Had No Idea That Song Was So Morbid, and that addresses songs that have really upbeat, happy music, but the lyrics are somewhat otherwise. And Bobby Darin's mostly, he's sort of a poor man's Frank Sinatra. He started off as a rocker, and then he sort of got into the lounge swing jazz thing that Sinatra was doing, and he's known for Beyond the Sea and Mac the Knife, those kind of like, hey, loungy, you know, those up-tempo swinging, finger-snapping songs. So Artificial Flowers is done exactly the same way, the same kind of arrangement, really happy, upbeat music. But the song itself is about an orphan flower girl who dies of exposure and hypothermia in some squalid flat while trying to make artificial flowers to survive. And it's actually from a little-known musical called Tenderloin, which is written by the same two men who wrote Fiddler on the Roof. Tenderloin was not a hit Broadway play, but for some reason he decided to cover this song. And when you listen to it, it's just like the weirdest song. It's got this really great, happy arrangement, but he's like, they found little Ann all covered in ice, still clutching her poor frozen shears, and you know, the tears are frozen on her face. And there's no irony to this song. It's not a novelty song. It's done totally straight, and you're kind of like wondering, are you even paying attention to what you're singing, guy? This is like weird.
They found little Annie all covered with ice, still clutching her poor frozen shears. Amidst all the blossoms she had fashioned by hand, watered with all her young tears. There must be a heaven where little Annie can play in heavenly gardens. From Annie's fashion, from Annie's despair. Give her the real thing.
We should talk about one category of song you've got, Perfect Storms. You want to tell me about that?
Well, Perfect Storms are, to me, the most depressing songs. That's where all the elements come together. It's usually, you know, very, very tragic lyrics, a very, very oppressive musical track. The delivery of the song is overwrought. So everything that comes together is this sort of perfect storm of depression and lachrymose reaction. So I have five of them. One of them, you know, it's almost de rigueur you put it in when you talk about depressing song, which is, of course, Seasons in the Sun. Now, if you notice, there's a kind of a pattern in this book, because there seems to be a fair amount of 70s songs. I don't know what it is about the 70s, but there were so many songs that were number one hits that were so depressing.
It's odd because it was kind of a cheery decade.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's because Nixon was in the White House. I don't know what it was, but everybody was so depressed back then. And I, you know, I grew up in the 70s, too. And Seasons in the Sun was, you know, it's actually a Jacques Brel song, a French language song, and it's actually a little bit cheekier and more humorous, but it was then translated by Rod McKeown, one of the worst poets of all time. His translation was very sentimental, and then Terry Jacks actually rewrote some of the lyrics, and it just became more and more melodramatic and more depressing. And it's about a man who's like lying in bed, you know, he's dying of old age, and he's sort of looking back on his life. That's what the song's originally about, and that song was just so, that became this earworm that was stuck in your head, and because they played that song all the time. Number one hit around the world.
We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun, but the stars we could reach were just starfish on the beach. We had joy, we had fun, we had seasons in the sun, but the stars we could reach were just starfish on the beach. We had joy.
Tom Reynolds is the author of I Hate Myself and Want to Die, the 52 most depressing songs you've ever heard. He spoke with N. Strange Chimps.